Still searching for the cups.
Okay, Rabbi, beginning a brand new perek. Perek Shloisha She'ochlu, Daf Mem Hei Omer Aleph. Zok the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us about Hilchos Zimun. Zimun, as you know, means when you have three people together. Everything okay? Somebody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, you have three people that ate together and they all washed and now they want to go and be mezamein. Mezamein, of course, means that one person says Raboisai and the other two respond. Three people who ate together as one, chayav mezamein, there's a chiyuv. You have to do zimun. You can't say, well, I'm not so sure, I don't want to. That. You have to have one person say Raboisai and the other two respond. Now what happens if they ate the following items? Somebody's supposed to write. Ochal d'may, or masa rishon shenot l'trumosai, or masa sheni v'hektish shenivtu, v'hashamah she'ochal kezayis, v'hakusi, mezamnen olav. Each one of those that we just enumerated, there is some sort of deficiency. Rashi calls it domul isur. And therefore I might have thought that we should not do zimun because it's almost like a mitzvah habo bidei avera, a mitzvah which is somehow involving an avera. So our Mishnah says, no, there's no problem. But what is that list that we're talking about? The first thing is demai. Demai, as we know, is every time a person who has brand new tavua, brand new peros, brand new yirokos in Eretz Yisrael, you have to go and give truma and maaser. Truma you give to the kohen, maaser rishon of course you go and give to the levi, maaser sheni you take up to Yerushalayim, third and sixth year you have maaser ani. All of those tithes have to be removed from the original teva. Now, there's a category called demai. Demai means that if you go to an amaret, many of the Amaratzim, unfortunately, were not makvid on giving maestris. Not all of them. In fact, the Gemara says that Roiv Amaratzim ma'asrenheim. Roiv Amaratzim did give their maestris. But there was a significant percentage, at least 5 or 10 or 20%, that unfortunately did not give maestris. And because of that, you were not able to go and eat from the produce of that farmer or from that Amaratz until you gave maestris again. Because maybe he didn't give maaser the first time. Okay, what happens if a person ate demai and he did not give maaser? So even though you have to, the same chacham that said that you have to go and give maaser from this tmua, from this produce, they also said that if you didn't, you could still be mitzaref to zimun nevertheless. Then we have maaser rishon shenot l'trumosai. Now the word not l'trumosai is somewhat vague or ambiguous, in the sense that every time you have two trumas that have to be given from new produce. You have the truma gedoyla that you have to give to the kohen, and then you have the trumas maaser that you have to give from the maaser. What does that mean, trumas maaser, give from the maaser? You have the farmer, assuming that the farmer is also the seller and the producer and the eater. What does the farmer do? First he has to go and give 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th to the kohen. Assuming he's going to go and give 1/50th, that's 2%. So if he started off with 100 bushels of tavua or of produce, of the 100 he's going to have to give 1/50th, that would come out to be roughly 2 altogether. Good. Those 2 he gives to the kohen. Now we're left with 98, right? 100 minus 2 is 98. From the 98 you have to go and give now 10% to the levi. And that's called Maasa Rishon. 10% of 98 is roughly 9.8. Exactly right. So now the levi has 9.8. What does the levi do before he's allowed to go and eat? He has to go and give Maiser Min HaMaiser. A tenth of 9.8 would come out to be roughly 0.98. So good that you hit together, Paul, because we got all the numbers right. So he has to give away 0.98 to the levi. So our Mishnah says that this Maaser Rishon should not the Trumosai, that we gave the Truma. Not clear which Truma we're talking about. Does that mean the original Truma Gedoyla? Or does it mean that we gave the Trumas Maaser, that 0.98, the Maaser and a Maaser that the Levi has to go and give to the Truma? Anyway, that of course the Gemara is going to explore. Ultimately what the Gemara is going to say is it's talking about, yes, the Trumas Maaser. Wow. Shkoyach Shkoyach. Oh, say Masiris Nefesh. Masiris Nefesh. Azayir
Atzadu. Come to Kavska.
Oh, and what about Rabbi Segal who's going in? Oh. Machne Shebek. Manchester Rashiv and Rabbi Segal. Exactly. That's the important thing. Good. So we're saying in our Mishnah that the truma, not the truma, the truma, the from the Maserishin, truma had been given. Which truma was given? We'll see Mitchum the Gemara. The truma's meiser was given. However, there was no truma gedoyla given. There's no truma gedoyla given. How can you go and eat it? See, Gemara is going to say it's talking about a case where the levi came bishibolim. Shibolim means before the miruach. There was no gemar malachi yet to be mechayiv in truma samaisis. In such a case, you don't have a chiv to go and give truma, because it says in the pasuk digoncha, a dogon is defined after the miruach, after you've processed it, winnowed it, put it into a large heap, smoothed it out, and none of that happened yet. It was still bishibolim, still in its embryonic, infantile stage. Anyway, so I would have thought, maybe the problem, we can't be mitzaref lezimun. Kamash will learn that you can. As you know, normally a regular year, first year, second year, fourth year, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, after you give your Masa Rishon, the next tenth of the Tvor, we started off with 100, we gave 2 to the Kohen, we were left with 98, we gave away 9.8 to the Levi. So if you take 98 and subtract 9.8, how much did you get? That's a little bit more complicated, right? 89.2? Okay, so 89.2 is left. From that 89.2, you have to take another tenth, and you take that tenth also, you don't give it to anybody, not to the Kohen, not to the Levi, you take it yourself up to Yerushalayim, and you eat it in Yerushalayim, Givaldik. What happens if it wasn't just 10% of 89.2 gets you 8.92. Right, 8.92. What happened? I'm sorry?
0.8.
And you're starting off at 89.2 when you take a tenth of that. It's okay, we're still friends, nothing happened, words are fine. So, a tenth of 89.2 gives you 8.92. Now, if you only have 100 bushels, 8.92 is shkefet. But what happens if a person has 100,000 bushels? Now you got to go and multiply the 8.92 times 1,000, which means he's going to have to schlep 892 bushels. Wow, 892 bushels, that's a lot. So what is he going to go and do? He might have to hire a U-Haul truck to go and schlep all of these bushels. So the Torah tells you, Ki yirchak mimcha hamokayim, klei suchal se'esoy. What can you do? You can go and the tzarta kesa biyodcha, you can go and be poda it on money. Figure out what the value of your meiser is, and take the money up to Yerushalayim. You can eat this maaser sheni, or in the case of hegdish, you can go and be poda it, and you can eat it outside Yerushalayim. No problem. So what's the chiddush? I was poda it. We'll see Mitch, what he's going to tell us, because every time you pay the maaser sheni in hegdish, you have to go and add a chaimish. The chamishi say Yosef olav. So kedai to chamina that if you were not moisef the chaimish, you were not yoitze in your pidyon. Says the Mishnah. Okay, you were. It's okay for purposes of zimun. You still need a tikkun for the fact that you didn't give your chaimish. But as far as zimun is concerned, you are mitzar. Another case is a shamish ochel kazayis. The shamish is the waiter. The waiter can be mitztarif if he eats a kazayis. I would think he's not sitting at the meal. He's just walking around acting as a waiter. Maybe he could not be mitztarif. Dr. Mishnah, no, he can be mitztarif. And finally, the kusi can also be mitztarif to Zimun. I would have thought that perhaps the kusi is geiri aroyos, and therefore he's not considered to be Jewish. He cannot be mitztarif. Kamash malon geiri embas saying he can be mitztarif. Anyway, bottom line is, there's a chiddush in each one of the enumerated cases that we can be mitztarif them, even though they're domuli isser, there's a perception of a problem. No problem, they can be mitztarif. However, says the Mishnah, ochal tevel. Tevel means a tvur before you gave any trumois and masters. Matunish esen kat tevel. Or he ate maser rishish loy not the trumosoi. Maser rishon that they didn't give the truma, and yes, Hashem will see in the Gemara. It's, I'm sorry? By Tevel, I believe it's Misa B'dei Shemoyim. Misa B'dei Shemoyim is very similar to Kores, but it's slightly different. Maser rishon loy not the trumosoi. Maser rishon where they didn't give the truma. And here it's talking about a maser rishon where the Levi received it after the Miruach. So there was a Chiv in Truma Gedoyla. And therefore this Maserishin has the status like Tevel, because no Truma Gedoyla was given. And Mir Hashem will see more about that in the Gemara. Oh, Maaseh Sheni v'Hekdesh Shalo Nifter, you were not poided the Maaseh Sheni in Hekdesh. No, if you weren't poided, of course you're not allowed to eat it Chutz Yerushalayim. And the Gemara is going to tell us that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is talking about that you were poided, but you were not poided effectively, because you didn't use a Matbeya Shiyesh Batsura, you used what's called an Asimon. Years ago, an Asimon was something that you used in the telephone in Medina Sisra. However, an Asimon in the times of Chazal meant a Matbeya that didn't have a Tzura. It was just a flat coin. I think they called it a slug. Some people say that that's a very not nice term. So
a
whatever.
Blank.
A blank. Sozana blank.
Better word.
Anyway, sorry?
Blank is a better word.
A blank is a better word, but people might think it's a blank check instead of a blank matbeya.
If it was just but it has value. It's a blank, but it's silver. It's gold.
Mm-hmm.
It has value. It has intrinsic value as a precious metal.
Right.
But it's not kosher for
Betzarta hakesef biyodcha. Darsh in the Gemara, it's got to be matbeya sheyesh bot tzura.
Okay.
Even if the tzura is that of Trump or someone that you like or dislike, it makes no difference. It has to have an authorized tzura from the government. If it's just blank, it's gunish mid gunish. And we continue on by Shamash Ochel Pachas Mikazais, the same Shamash that we had in the Reisha, but here the Shamash didn't eat a full Kazais. You have to have a Kazais in the Tzarev. V'hanochri, or if he's a Goy, ein mezamnen olav. See, it said, of course you can't ein mezamnen olav, it's a Goy. It's interesting, Gemara is going to tell us about a Jew who is a semi-Goy. Besides a semi-Goy, it's talking about that he is in the process of Gyor. All he's done so far is he's gone to the mikveh, he hasn't had a bris milah or faket. He hasn't done all the processes yet, but he's almost there. I would have thought perhaps he could be. No, the answer is, until he does all the processes, he's still not considered to be a qualified Jew. Therefore, he can't be Mesach. Okay, Mitchum will learn each one of the cases Gemara is going to discuss in detail. Finally, the Mishnah tells us, Noshim Avodim Ketanim, Ein Mezam Naleim. You cannot be Mitzdarif women or Avodim or Ketanim to the din of Zimun. Whether or not they can do Zimun on their own without being Mitzdarif to men, Mitchum, we're going to talk about that on the Omid base. What's the minimum that you need for purposes of Zimun that people have to go and eat? Ad Kizayis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Kibayah. Min ha-toira, the din, of course, of benching, and therefore the offspring, the derivative of benching, the zimun, would have to be dafka, a kidei sevia, v'yachalta, v'savoto, v'yarata. V'amid rabbanan, there's a machloik between a mei and a b'yun and a mishnah. What's the minimum to be mechayiv the din of benching midrabanon? So even though our mishnah is focusing on zimun, but Allah would also apply to birchas hamazon, what the minimum shear for benching is, whether it's a kezayis or whether it happens to be a kebeya. Rashi says that there's perhaps another chiddush in the mishnah that perhaps is coming to tell you not just the person yet being mitzdarif, but the person who's being moitzi the others in zimun. In other words, from Rashi, it sounds like it's possible that maybe even less than a kezayis or a kebeya, you could be mitzdarif as long as you ate something. But if you want to be the rabbosai person who's leading the zimun, then you have to have at least a kezayis or a kebeya. You'll see Ayin Barashi. Anyway, talk to you, Mark. We've spoken about the whole inyan of zimun now for the last few minutes. What is the makor that three people together can be mitzdarif to be mezamin and have this inyan of zimun? Amar of Asid Yamakro, we have two psukim. Posik number one is Gadol Hashem iti unroim meshmoyachtav. A person is about to bench and he says to two others, Gadlu, go and exalt and elevate Hashem's name iti together with me. Iti means, of course, a lashon yachid, me, one. Gadlu, he's talking to two people, doesn't say Gadel. Hashem iti, it says Gadlu. He's talking to two people. You be Megadol, you elevate Hashem's name together with me. So 1 + 2 = 3. When Rai Mishmayachtim, and together all three of us are going to elevate a Kodesh Baruch Hu's holy name by making Zimun. Rav Avohu says an almost identical drasha from another pasuk. Rav Avohu Omar Mehocha Shtein Pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra. I'm about to call Hashem's name. I'm about to bench. I'm asking all of you, Havu Goydel Elokeinu, join with me in being Megadol L'Shem Hashem. Again, Ekra is a Lashon Yochid, that's one person talking to at least two. Havu Goydel, don't say Havei, Havu. So therefore, one talking to two, three of us together will go and be Megadol Hashem's name. So that's how you know the minimum for Zimun is three.
Usually, Torah is preferential over Tanakh.
Right.
So why the first man Omar, why say that Gadlu is a Pasuk in Tillim, Shem Hashem is in Devarim?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I don't know why you
have to eat together. Can
do that? Well, that's a very good question. For purposes of Zimun, the three have to be together at one table.
Together.
Yes, they eat together, right?
I mean, you can't have two guys next door and call them over because they're all in bed together.
If they haven't eaten together at one time, there's no chivazim. No chivazim.
But as far Havu means talk to people.
Right. Not, certainly not to animals.
You have to wonder what you're saying when you're before Musaf and before Mincha.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
When you're saying, Kishem Hashem Akra, Havu Godel, and who are you talking to?
Okay. As opposed to?
The side to talk. I mean, you're saying that quietly. Havu sounds like you're talking to people.
Introduction. Let us go.
Dr. Goldfarb, I'd like to ask you, are you making a point or are you asking a question?
No, I'm just asking this.
Because if you ask a question,
pointing out to that this is you.
What do you say?
It's an unusual context to say it. He's davening. Pointing out to that since we use this by Melchi, he wants to make a comment about this.
I was wondering
also, but I didn't speak up. But
okay, no, please speak up, because I still don't know what I'm supposed to get into.
Say
quiet.
Right,
we say this silently by Milcha and Musaf, but yet the context sounds like we should be saying it out loud, since it's a three-person address.
But my brothers ask, what does that do with that?
Kishem Hashem Ekra, if you're referring to the fact that we say that a mincha time before Shemana Esrei, it's true. There's no question about it. And not only that, it's also a pasuk at the end of Devarim, and we lane it when we come to that parasha. But here we're talking about specifically the Hilchei Zimun.
I was just going on the idea that Havu sounds like the Magichi said that we're talking to somebody, so that's the implication.
I guess that is the implication.
You're saying to yourself or to Hashem.
Well, that's the implication of the Raboisai. You have a couple people sitting at a table and you say, Raboisai, Nivorech or Mevelim Benchin, let us go and bench to Hashem. So in fact, you have one person addressing two other people. You're saying to them, Kishem Hashem Ekra, I'm ready to go and Kodesh B'Shem Hashem in the form of the benching. Please, Havu Gadol L'Kenu, join me in being the Gadol L'Shem Hashem. So we are talking out loud. We're not talking to ourselves and we're not whispering. We are saying out loud, Raboisai, Nivorech, or Raboisai Mevelim Benchin. Is that good or bad?
That's good. That's good, but why?
I want to make sure that Dr. Goldfarb, one at a time. Are we okay with that?
No, it's not.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, good.
Okay.
Now, Barry, your question.
In the context of Mincha and Musaf, when we say this silently, it seems out of place. First of all, if we dive in with a group, we have a minimum of 10. Secondly, and this is Dr. Goldfarb's point, I think, we say this silently, we don't say this aloud.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Zimun, we say aloud. We call people to bench together. So it seems like that to say this before Mincha and Musaf seems misplaced.
Okay, so that's a very good question. Why we say the beginning of Mincha Musaf, I don't know. I do know why it's brought here in our Gemara. It's brought here in our Gemara to tell you that's one of the Makoides for the Inyan of Zimun. That one person calls out to the other two out loud, not silently, and he says to the other two, please join me, Havu Gadol L'Kenu. We still have Remendel's question that has not been addressed yet. Remendel asks that the first Mandiyam Rav Asi brought a Pasuk from Tilim, and then the second Pasuk brought from the Torah. So, in fact, it's often there are Svarim that always a medactic whenever you have multiple Mekoidites, they ask, what do you need the other pasuk for? We already have one. What do you need the second or the third? And each time they try to show that the second or the third is an improvement over the first. So it would answer why Reb Avo comes up with the second pasuk. The first pasuk was great. And the answer is because the first pasuk is from Nach, and he wants to bring a pasuk from the Torah. But it doesn't address your question. Why did Avasi, in fact, bring a pasuk from the Nach? Why didn't he bring the pasuk from the Torah? The pasuk Hashem Hashem Ekra is an obvious pasuk. So on that, I don't know. Even would have to look through the Mefarshim and see why the first man the Yama brought from Tilim, if he could have brought a pasuk from the Chumash.
Question.
Reb Chanan Bar Abba.
The second one, he's just saying, when I call out, you answer. The first one, let's all do it together.
Uh-huh. The Havu Gadol L'Kenu also sounds together, but fine. In other words, you like the first pasuk better in terms of the Makar as the source. Okay, see, so Jake already has a Mahalach. No, fine, I think that's great. Thank you. Shekoyach. Now we're getting off a little bit on a tangent because we quoted the pasuk Gadol Hashem Iti. So the Gemara is going to learn another couple of rules and regulations based on that pasuk, and that is when you have a person who's making a bracha, or for that matter, if you have somebody who's davening for the Amud, and then you hear sometimes a person who has certain idiosyncratic practices, the person who is saying a bracha is saying it nice and quietly, and the other person screaming out at the top of his lungs, oh, man! Our mission told our Gemara told us that that is not really proper. The Oina Omen liyagbia koil yosim nevarach, he should not go and raise his voice higher than the mevarach. So the mevarach is just saying it. Of course, we have certain circumstances where there's a person saying Kaddish in the back of shul and nobody hears him. So sometimes the Oina Omen has to say Omen loud, just to alert everybody that somebody's saying Kaddish. Because otherwise people don't even know. But we're talking about a situation where everybody knows he's saying Kaddish or he's saying a bracha. And you answer Omen, you're supposed to say it more or less the same decibel level as the person who's making the bracha. How do I know that? Shenemar, God l'Hashem iti, unram v'shmoy, yachta, we do it together. Not that I am louder or I'm quieter, I do it at the same decibel level as the original mevarah. This, of course, in our Ashkenazi communities is no longer the custom, but in certain communities, for instance, even among the Yemenites, they still have the custom today. And in yesteryear, that this was a custom throughout the international Jewish community, and that is that after the Baal Koreh would read one or two psukim, then he would take a break, and the Metargim would go and translate it in Aramaic for all those that were present, so that they would understand what they're reading from the Torah. So the Metargim, who is translating, he should also not raise his voice at a higher decibel level than the original Koreh. Says Reb Shimon ben Pasi, how do I know? Sheina Metargim, the translator, he's not Rishoy, he's not permitted lagbia koyloi to go and express his voice higher yoisem in the koyloi. How do I know? Shem is in the pasuk. Moshe yadabu v'lekim yanenu v'koyl. Moshe Benu was speaking at the time of Matan Torah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu was answering him b'koyl. Now, what means b'koyl? The word b'koyl is unnecessary. Moshe yadabu v'lekim yanenu. She ain't tamalayim b'koyl. What's the b'koyl? Ma'at tamalayim b'koyl. B'koyloi shel Moshe. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kabiyachu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was speaking at the same decibel level as Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Klal Yisrael. Now, the pasuk on the surface, or the limud on the surface, is a little bit shver, because if we're talking about the Koreh and the Metargim, it would appear to be that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one that's the Koreh, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the transmitter to Klal Yisrael. He's the Metargim. Yet the Rai of the Gemara is from the case of Moshe Yadaver. It sounds like Moshe is the Koreh, the Baal Koreh, if you will. Well, the Kim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Metargim, Yanenu V'Koreh. That doesn't make sense. Kodesh Baruch Hu is being Metargim, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. If anything, Moshe is taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words and transmitting them to Klal Yisrael. So Tosis is bothered by that, and Tosis explains, as we'll see in a moment, Moshe Yadaber. When Moshe Rabbeinu went and transmitted the Torah to the 600,000 Jews, he had to go and project his voice as much as he could, like a loudspeaker. And therefore he was presumably screaming at the top of his lungs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not, it wasn't necessary for Kodesh Baruch Hu to speak so loud, because he was only speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he could have spoken, if you will, in a whisper, or just a normal decibel level. Kodesh Baruch Hu especially strained Kaviyachal his voice to be able to go and say it at the same level of Moshe, so we wouldn't have a situation where Moshe the Metargim was being Magbia Koilo Yoiser Min Hakoy. So Kodesh Baruch Hu strained his voice to speak out loud to Moshe, so that when Moshe would then repeat it, it would be at the same decibel level. Let's take a look at the Toises, second Y Toises down below, the Koyloi Shel Moshe. Vim Toima. Hechi Maisi Rai Mi Moshe. You're trying to bring a Rai from Moshe. But Terech Lasuye, the Moshe Hoye Metargim, the Pasik that we could have brought, should have brought, would have been about that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Metargim, but Oye Meirim Koyloi Yoisme Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he's not allowed to go and strain his voice and say it louder than Hashem Yisbarach. Shoye Koyloi, because Kodesh Baruch Hu was the one that was the Koyrei. And yet, the pasuk that the Gemara is bringing is the other way around. V'umevi she'kodesh baruch hu haya koirei. It's as if Kodesh Baruch Hu was the koirei, Moshe haya mitargim, and therefore, aren't we reversing everything? Instead of trying to bring a raya, the Moshe Benu made sure that his voice level was not higher than Hashem, we're saying that Hashem wasn't, his voice wasn't higher than Moshe, right? The koirei shel Moshe. It should be that Moshe said it the same koirei vel Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Ubir Shabalfis, the Rif explains, Mekoyish Moshe, Mistama Moshe Bechol Koyichoy Hoya Oida. Probably, presumably, Moshe was saying it with all of his strength. that everybody in the nation could hear it. He didn't have to go and strain, he was only talking to Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu especially did go and make his voice louder. Kadosh Baruch Hu especially made his koil louder, so Moshe Rabbeinu's voice would not be louder than Hashem's. Anyway, so bottom line is, I learned from this pasuk that just like a person who's making a bracha or, and the other person saying amen, it should be on the same decibel level. Same thing applies to the balkorei and the mitargim. Tana Mihacha, bring your raya, says the Gemara, four lines before the wide lines, and bring your raya from a braiser. The Metargim should not make his voice louder than the Koyre. What happens if the Metargim cannot be Magbia Koyle Kenegra Koyre? What does that mean? In other words, what happens if the Metargim has a stronger voice and the Balkore has a weaker voice, or vice versa? What's the Dimi Mefshel Metargim Magbia Koyle Kenegra Koyre? Yimayach HaKoyre Koyloi VeYikra. In other words, the Metargim is a very soft spoken individual, and therefore, even when he just says it in a very soft manner, it's still louder than that of the Balkore, and you're not allowed to go and do it louder. For the Balkore, he should go and soften his decibel level so that they should be both on the same. So the duty to make sure that the Metargim is not doing it at a higher, louder level than the Kore is on both of them. If the Kore is loud, make sure that the Metargim is not louder, and if the Metargim cannot go and pitch his voice louder, then the Kore should go and be Yemayach, he should go and soften his voice, so they should be roughly together on the same decibel level. Now, all of this is, of course, we're talking about in the shul during laning. We're not talking about giving a shir for thousands of people out in the open, because that's the whole purpose of the Metargim, that the Tana or the Moira could not project his voice. Otherwise, there's no purpose in the Metargim. One of the major purposes was to project his voice. Of course, he's allowed to project his voice more than the original person. Otherwise, what do we need him? Except, of course, he also translated it and deciphered it and made it easier. Yes, Brother Shai, you wanted to say something.
That was when you give over Torah.
Yeah.
Kodesh Baruch Hu carries it. So you may give a Torah here, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu could take it to South Africa.
Ah.
Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Yenem Kol, Hashem amplifies the Torah. Brings
very good. Very, very nice. Thank you. Yes.
You see these signs of shuls and loyna. I mean, Yisrael.
Right.
You see people screaming. I mean, Yisrael.
So it's problematic. Okay, but again, we're talking all for purposes of the theoretical. Halacha Maisa, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. Dr. Mishin, yes, Mr. Friedman.
You must remember Rabbi Yosef Kamenetsky, that's how
yes.
We could barely hear him. Because when he gave a lecture, a speech.
He was talking about, or he needed a microphone. Exactly.
That's why it's called Kol Ram.
Exactly. Dr. Mishin, more about it. Itmar. Shnaim She'ochel Kachas. Until now we've spoken about that there's a Chiyav Zeman with three. What happens if you only have two? Although there's no chiv, are they allowed to go and be mezamen? Is there any inyan of two people being mezamen by themselves? And that's the machloikis now between Rav and Rav Yechon. We're going to go through this machloikis until about halfway down the Omid Beis. It mashnaim she'ochlu k'achas. Two people eat together as one, not three, but two. Pligi Rav Rav Yechon, we have machloikis Rav Rav Yechon, echad omi imrotzu lezam mezam. If they want to be mezamen, they can die. There's no chiv. But if they want to, no problem. No. Even if they want to be mezamen, forget about it. There's no such thing. It's a minimum of three. Don't even talk about it. Tonight, so let's try to bring a right from our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Shloisha she'ochlu k'achas chayav lezamen. It says Shloisha in Shnayim Lois. So you see, it's very clear. Three yon nishkatu. Efni marnanak. That's not a right. Hasam choy. Our Mishnah is telling you the absolute minimum requirement. You're required if you have three. Hachorishus, the machloikas over here is, if you want to on a voluntary, not as an obligation, voluntarily, can you do zeman with two? And that's the machloikas. So no raya from our Mishnah. Toshima, let's bring a raya from a braisa. Shloisha she'ochlu kachas, three people ate together. Chayavun lezamein. So far that's the same as our Mishnah, the chayav lezamein. But now he adds, They're not allowed to split off. So what's the raya from that? The raya is very, very simple. If you're going to go and tell me, I mean, what has we added from this braisa more than the Mishnah? What we've added is, if you had three people initially, don't go and split it up. Why can't they split it up? One person can say, I got to leave, I have to go to the daf, I have to go to a shir, I have to go to business, I got to go to work, I can't stick around. The other two say, but we want to do Zimun. Do Zimun, who's stopping you? If you hold that you're allowed to do Zimun with two, do Zimun. And by the fact that it says that you're not leaving Chalik, sounds like that once one person leaves, then the spar de kol achavira, the spar de kol achabura, you can't go and do Zimun anymore. So the chayav rai, shloisha en, shnayim lo, you have to have three. So to what nishkarai? Shani hosn, the kavula, b'choyiv me'yikara. When you start off with three, you gotta stick with three, because that's the choyiv, that's the chiyuv. If, however, you started with two, it could very well be that you can be yoytze with two as well. So you're going to tell me, if you can go and do two, so what's the better, why is it better to have three together? Zochtach Rashi, because we have the famous rule, Godel ha-metzuva v'yoytze, yoytze mishayna metzuva v'yoytze. So once you have three together, sure, one person can leave and the other two could theoretically go and still do zimun on their own. But he'll never rise to the level of metzuva v'yoytze, because it's voluntary, it's not an obligation, it's not a choiva. We want to stay at the higher level of the Godel Mitzvah V'yoysa, therefore, right to know right. Toshima. Hashamish Oyev Mishamish Al Hashnai. Exactly what we're trying to bring a rai, and the Gemara said, it's a Nishka rai. So we're going to try to bring another rai. This rai is very easy. You have a Shamash who's acting as the waiter, and he's Mishamish Al Shnai. Two people who are eating, he's the waiter. If he wants to, he can go and pick up a challah roll and go and wash and eat it and be mitzaref to them, even if he didn't ask permission from them. Makes no difference, he can join them, and then we're going to have three. However, if he's a waiter for three people, he has no right to go and eat with them, unless they gave him permission. So what's the difference between two and three? Because if there are two besides him, and he's going to go and wash, he's going to be mezakeh them with a minion of Zimun. He's mezakeh mitzvah. However, if there are three already, we don't need you. Mister, don't eat, we didn't give any permission. Go to heaven. We got three already on our own. I don't need you to go and join us. Okay, so it sounds like, in the first case, that the two can do Zimun on their own. Because if they could do Zimun on their own, why, Shamus, are you getting involved? Who asked you to eat? You don't have any permission. Get out of here. I got two already. Is the Chayra Raya that you cannot do Zimun with two? You have to have three. And that's why the Shamus can go and join you to cause it now to be a Chiv of Zimun. The two are Nishkarayas. Shani Hossam! It could very well be that you could be Nizamin even with two. However, the reason why we do three is because he gives it now an exalted status. It's not just a situation of Rishus. Now it's a Chayva. And what's done by a chayva? Zochtach Rashi, the Godel Mitzvah V'yoysa. He's doing them a tremendous chayva that he's now elevating this mitzvah. Not it's just I'm doing it because I want to do Hashem favor, but I'm doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to do it. This is somewhat counterintuitive. Normally, I would think that Godel Misha'ena Mitzvah V'yoysa. If you're doing somebody a favor and didn't even ask you to do it, that's what the Mishur said. Why doesn't he go and get more schar than the person that's Mitzvah V'yoysa? V'zochtir Abduvin. Oh, so the Toysa says, not here but elsewhere, that the reason why Godel Mitzvah Oysa Yoyt Mishayin Mitzvah Oysa, because in Mitzvah Oysa there is a Satan and a Yetzirah who are working overtime. On the secular holidays, they're getting paid time and a half, or maybe even two times, to go and fight against you. Don't do the mitzvah. Don't get up for davening. You know, it's a secular holiday. You can stay asleep. Don't worry. You can daven 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can get a minion somewhere in Buru Park. Nothing to worry about, etc., etc. So therefore, what he's telling you is, mitzvah v'oise, if you have a tzivoy and you're able to go and vanquish and conquer your avodah zarah, thank you, and you are successful at conquest by conquering, what's the halacha then? Then you have a great, great, exalted schar. However, if it's rishus, then the Yetzer Hara, the son, says, no, let him do rishus. Okay, that's not a problem. It's not one of the tariq mitzvahs. You can do whatever you want. So that's why it's going to be always the anyway, bottom line is, again, we have not been pushing our shayla. Toshima. Let's try to bring another item. Noshim mezamlis la'atzman. Women, if they want to, they can go and do zimun together. Meaning, they cannot be mezamlis together with men folk, but if they want to go and do zimun on their own, they are permitted to do so. Now, I know people are thinking to themselves, oh, what about all the feminists today? So the chayyur they can, and da-da-dum. So if you look at the toises right next door, here the second toises, Shani Hosum d'ikadeyos, mikan mashma d'noshim yecholois lezamun le'atzman. It's mashma that they can. V'chein osu b'nois rabbeinu Avram, chom of Shereinu Yehuda. They taka went and they did zima together, al pi avir. Umiyu le'noagu ha'olam came. Nevertheless, the olam is not noig that way, and Toises continues on, bring rayas back and forth, but bottom line, he says, the minig is that women do not do zima. So we have
about two women or three women.
We're talking about three. Three women today. It
makes a difference if my woman is two or three, since they are not obligated anyhow.
They're not obligated, but the question is, can they be mezamen la'atzman? So although theoretically, halachically, they could, but the minig is that they are not mezamen, even if they have three together. There could be places that they're starting new minhagim, but at least the old traditional minig was that women were not mezamen la'atzman.
What's the
nusach? You have to ask them. I have no idea. Anyway, noshim mezamen la'atzman, v'avodim mezamen la'atzman. Avodim can also be mezamen on their own. However, they cannot be mitzdarif. Noshim vodim tanim, they cannot be mitzdarif. Imrat lezamen, ey mezamnin. Why can't they be mezamen together? So Rashi tells us, we're going to see this in another few lines. Noshim vavodim can do it together, mishum pritzusa. Since avodim, by definition, are typically not on the same level of regular individuals, so unfortunately they might be susceptible and vulnerable to doing things which are not so proper. And the noshim daisein kalois, so we're worried, chas v'sholom, it might come the day pritzus. So it's better having them separated. What's wrong with avodim ektanim? So this unfortunately tells us that ein kol chodesh tachas hashomesh. The problem with avodim ektanim is that might come liday mishkav zohar. Really mishkav zohar? Yeah. If you can be a potential president and be a mishkav zohanik, so avodim ektanim, you never know what's going on. Anyway, unfortunately. So getting back to our Gemara, it says about all of them ain't mezamnim. So break the Gemara yet. What happens if you have 100 women together? They're at a women's convention. The 100 women together is Kitrei Gabri Damian. For these purposes, they're like two men. What do you mean they're like two men? In the sense that both of them are potter. 100 noshim are potter and two men are potter.
So they're potter, not, so there's no, we're answering our question then, right?
No, we haven't asked the question yet. Ve'enoshi akitrei gavri damin. They're potter in the sense that there is no chova. Everybody agrees there's no chova for two. Only question is whether they could do it betoidus rishus. But chova, there's certainly no chova for two, and there's no chova for 100. So now, 100 women are like two men. Uktani, and it says that noshim mezamnes la'atzman. If they want to, they can be mezamnes, as well as avod mezamnes la'atzman. So what do I see? That even though people that are potter, they are not required, they can do it if they want to. If that's the case, just like the 100 women can do it, though they're not mechuyim, so then the two men should be able to do it, even though they're not mechuyim. So I can be poishid ar shayla and say that two men do have the right, they don't have the chiyuv, but they have the right to go and be mezamein. Says Imar, no. 100 women are better than two men in this respect. Shani Hosam the Ikadeos. This means that you have many minds. What he really means to say is that you have many individuals. Why is that better? Says Rashi, because the whole Mekor for the din of Zimun is based on the two psukim that we had on the Amid Aleph, and those both psukim talk about Gadol Hashem iti and Remish Moyachdav, come together with me and go and be Megadol Hashem's name. That is not appropriate if you're talking about two people, because Gadlu Lashem Iti, two people come together with me, Unaraimimma. But here you're talking about only two people getting together. There's no Gadlu Lashem Iti, Gade Lashem Iti. So that doesn't fit into the pasuk. But by 100 women, it's Gadlu Lashem. You've got lots of people that are going and joining that first woman in the Zimun. See, if you look at the Rashi, the first of the narrow lines, the Ikadeos, the Avagav, the Inyan Choiva in the Chayavs. There's no question, 100 women are potter, just like 1,000 women and just like 2 women. They're all potter. However, in Yerushus, the fact that there are three women or more, that gives it a certain relevance and chashivas. It's better than two men. In which respect? There you can have one person saying to others, in other words, one woman saying to two other women, join me, and now you got the kiyum, the fulfillment of the gad l'shem iti. However, if you only have two men, you don't have that fulfillment. So therefore you have no raya from the case of the noshim to the case of the anoshim. Back to the Gemara, eight lines from the top of the oven. If that's the case, look at the sefer of that same brisa. If the Noshim and Avodim wanted to get together and be mezamin, they cannot be mezamin. Am I loy? After all, if you have two women and one eved, or two avodim and one woman, you got three, so, okay, it's not ideal, but still, you have the kiyum of the deos of the god l'shem iti, so they should be able to do it, even though there is no chova, but mitzad reshus, they should be able to. You're right, in terms of theory, you're 100% right, but we have an overriding concern that the avodim and the Noshim, if they get together, chas v'shalom, there might be some frivolous chatter between them, which can go and lead to other problems. So therefore, we said, better we should go and separate the two groups.
We don't mention Katanim having a zimun among themselves at all.
The assumption is that Katanim are immature, and therefore they're not even roy, they're lab b'nei deis.
Okay.
The women and the avodim, even if there's a p'tur, but at least they're b'nei deis. Okay. Katanim are not b'nei deis.
So the overriding principle is that people must be eating together to mezamen.
Correct.
You can't just say, Yosef, come join us.
A person who has not eaten at all cannot be mistar for zimun purposes.
Unless he sits down and makes a motzi and then he can.
Now that's a good question. Gabi, whether you can mistar, whether you have to rise to the level of eating bread, that is not so simple. For that, again, you'd have to look at Shulchan Aruch or speak to a posek, and there are differences between 3 and 10, whether or not this person has to eat something. Just by the fact that he's sitting there, that's not enough. He's got to eat something. The question is, what does he have to eat for purposes of being mezimun? Whether it's enough to go and just eat a peiri, is it enough that he has to eat a piece of cake, does he have to have a shear? All of those are wonderful details, but our Gemara doesn't address them. Those are addressed in the Shulchan Aruch and by posek. Getting back to the Gemara, Zuk Gemara Maita, to stein it out. So, we have asked and brought, tried to bring raya, sahin and her from several sources, and we have not been successful. But one thing we do want to at least go and nail down is the identities of the two that said the different views. Well, what do you mean? Because we started off with Gemara saying, on the inyan of two people for Zimun, there's a machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Omer, one said, they can be mezamen. The Chad Omer and the other one said, you cannot be mezamen. The question is, which one, who said what? Is it Rav that said you can be and Rabbi Yochanan that said you cannot? Or is it vice versa that Rabbi Yochanan said you can and Rav said you cannot? It's the same that Rabbi Omer wrote to mezamen, in mezamen. Let's bring a right that Rav holds. If the two want to be mezamen, they cannot be mezamen. Yom Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Omer Rav. Oh, I'm talking about Rav. Shloish Shiach L'Kachas. Three people eating together at the table. One of them had to go out, for instance, to go and buy some new paper cups, like Mendel Atayragava just did a few minutes ago. Azach Hashivas. He goes out to the shuk to go and buy the paper cups, and the other two who are at the table, they want to go and bench now, and they say, Kurdin life. Mandel, we have to go and be Mizamin. Livy, exactly. Mizamin Olav, he's Taka Livy. And they can be Mizamin together with him. So the two can be mistarved together with the third out in the shuk. He doesn't have to rush back. He can stand in the shuk.
But they eat inside, though.
And no question about it.
So they can move.
That's the chiddush of Rav. You have three people who ate together. All of them ate a shiur, a kezayis, a kebay, no problem. They're getting ready to bench shortly. One of them runs out to go and get some cups.
Paper cups, right?
And the other two are getting impatient because the person who went out to buy the paper cups, most of the stores are closed because it's a secular holiday. He finally found one store and he has to negotiate the price because they are trying to use leverage against him. They know he has to go back for benching. Anyway, bottom line is they're calling out, Remendel, no, Rabbi Isai, no, I'll answer, no problem. Says the Bryce, that works, says Bryce. It says Rav, it works even though he's a block away, as long as he hears them and they hear him, you could be mid-starf.
And it's going to be on the street corner.
Not only in the corner, it could be in the middle of the block too.
Okay.
Exactly. Tam the curtain line. the reason why it works is because they called him and he's responding. It sounds like, however, if he's out of earshot and he cannot hear them and they cannot hear him and they can't call him or whatever, then you cannot do Zeman. Why can't you do Zeman? After all, the two guys still left behind. Let them do Zeman on their own. The Choyda have a Raya from Rav. The two people on their own cannot be Mitztaref LeZeman. That's what the Gemara says. This time the Rav Yomarot LeZeman. Ein mezamnin. No. Shani hazam dikvul b'choyve meyikara. It could be that Rav holds that you can be mezamnin two on their own. But if you start off as three, then you have to end off as three, like we said in the Gemara before, because gadol mitzvoisa, mishein mitzvoisa, you cannot leave this bond of three. You got to be united, all three together. But once, if you want to start off with two, maybe you could. So lemaisa, we have no right. El tistam de Rabbi Yochanan. Let's bring a right. If I can't, it's Rabbi Yochanan who the Omar im Rotz lezamin ain't mezamin. What's the right? The Omar Rabbi Bachana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Shneim she'ochel kachas. Two people ate together as one. Two people. Echad mehen yotzei bebirchas chaveray. If they want to, one person can go and say the birchas hamozen aloud, or the birchas hamotzi aloud, or both. And the other person, if he just listens carefully, especially if he answers Amen, but even if he doesn't answer Amen, if he's Mechavan to be Yotzei, I mean, it's no different than, for instance, if someone is laning the Megillah and he's Moitzi others. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is, even though there are only two people, one Yankel and Beryl, Yankel is benching out loud, Beryl is listening, they're both be Mechavan, he's been Mechavan to Lehoitzi, he's been Mechavan to be Yotzei, it works, it's fine. But notice, they didn't say anything about making Zimun. They're talking about one being might to the other by benching or saying whatever bracha. Vavimba, and then we were puzzled to borrow Barry's favorite term, and that is, why did Rabbi Yochanan say that? My kamashma tanina, didn't we learn the Mishnah, the Braisa, Shama v'loy ana yotza? If you heard somebody else's bracha, even if you didn't answer Amen, you won't say yotza. You're supposed to answer Amen, but as long as you are mechavan to be yotze and he was mechavan to be moitzia, it works. So what is Rabbi Yochanan adding? It's not that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us a positive din, he's telling us a negative din. Not that one can be moitzi the other, that tanina, that I know. He's coming to tell you that two can only be moitzi each other, but they cannot say Rabbi, that you cannot do, Zimun. This time, if that's the way we are understanding Reb Yochanan, that's the way Reb Zeira understood Reb Yochanan. So Reb Yochanan Tak is the one that holds that you cannot do Zimun Bishnaim. You have to have a minimum of three. Amalei Rava Bar Rav Huna Le Rav Huna. The Rabbanon, the Osman Rava Amri, the Rabbanon that came from Eretz Yisrael, they told us in Eretz Yisrael they hold Imratzu Lezamin Mezamnin. That if you want, if two want to be Mezamnin, they can be Mezamnin. Now typically when they're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and they're reporting what the Rabbanon in Eretz Yisrael said, who are the Rabbanon in Eretz Yisrael? Usually that's Rabbi Yochanan, like we had yesterday in the Gemara. Halon v'halahu, right. Like we had in the Gemara yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan was exactly, so Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. So presumably they are now telling us what Rabbi Yochanan holds. And they said him, Ratzel Zamen Mezamen. And you just said a moment ago, to Tistayim, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds that there is no din of Zimun Bishnayim. I love the Shmilahu Meir Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara, Shmilahu Meir Rav, Mekamed Anoch is Labav. What people forget is that Rav also originally in his youth was in Eretz Yisrael and only subsequently went down to Bavel, went up to Bavel physically, geographically. So therefore when they are telling this story of the Bund Asim and Marav, and they're referring to Rabbi Yochanan, they're referring to Rav. This is now consistent, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that two people cannot be mezamin. One can be moitzi the other, but can't be mezamin. But Rav Taka holds him, Ratzel Zamin mezamin. So now we have identified the people that said the halacha, but we haven't been able to bring a raya one way or the other from any Mishnah or from any Braisa. Kufa. Omer Abdimi Bar Yosef Omer Ab. Three people ate together. One the Yotze Echad Mehem the Shuk. One of them left to go and buy the paper cups. Kernel Loi Bin Kolam Mazan Olav. Even though he has not returned, Omer Abayi Vudekar Levi Oni. But he has to go and respond. It's not enough that you see him in the telescope. He has to be that you say Rabbeisai and he answers Yishem Hashem Mevoidach, etc. etc. He has to participate fully, even if he's one block away. That's only if you have three people. If you have 10 people doing Zimun, where then you say Baruch Elikeinu, Adonaisi, then he has to come back. He can't wait. He can't go and just go and do it by remote control. The tenth person, the one that's buying the cups, has to return here, and he has to be part of the Sima. Rabashi said, I don't understand the svara here. If anything, I would say, you have nine people around, it looks like it's asara. Sometimes when the minion is short in shul, and you have nine people, so, oh, we have a minion, we have a minion. And afterwards it turns out there were only nine altogether because he miscounted. So therefore, nine looks like ten. It's very clear if you only have two. This is Nishkadrai. You can see immediately there are only two, they're not three. And so therefore, wouldn't it make more sense to say that when it comes to two, you should make sure the third one comes back so I have taka three of an art together in one place as opposed to the ten? You got 90%, you got nine, it looks like ten, so nine and a half plus that half over there, you should be able to be mitzarev. Why do we say just forget that the tenth has to arrive on the scene and the third one can stay out in the market? Even though I'll be smarter, which you just said now, Ravashi, makes a lot of sense, but the Maisa we passed them like Marzutra. The Marzutra said that for purposes of the Tziruf of three, the third person can be out in the Shuk. For the purpose of ten, the tenth person has to come back. My time, what's the reason? Since the whole Indian of ten people is you're saying now, you're saying Hashem's name, whenever you're saying a Dovership in Kedusha, you always need ten, you learn Toich Toich, and therefore you have to have Kedusha, you have to have ten, so nine plus just doesn't do it. You gotta have ten. Therefore, it's not right to go and do nine plus. You have to have the tenth person here. Together, they can be megadol v'shem Hashem Shemayim as one.
So, in the example of three people, one can be on the phone?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
Or on the video?
I don't think so. Om Rabbi, Nikatina Shtayim She'ochle Ka'achas Mitzvah L'Cholek. When you have two people that are together, since you cannot do Zimun, at least according to Rav. So what our view is, they shouldn't even go and attempt to be yotze one with the other. In other words, two people together. Each one should make a bracha on his own. Each one should bench on his own instead of being moitzi. When you have three or more, yes, one can be moitzi. You have Megillah lighting, one person is moitzi, 10 other people, 20 people, 50 people. But you got two on their own, everybody should do their own thing. Tana mihoch, helping a right taka from Raisa. Shnaim she'och l'ke'achas, mitzvah l'cholik, each one should make a bracha on his own. That's Dafke, both of them are Talmidei Chacham, meaning both of them know the full text of the benching or of the bracha or whatever, so they are experts, so to speak. If one knows the Nusach, he knows the text, and the other one is unfortunately an Amaret, and it's talking about that there were no benchulach available, so Ibazai, what's the boor going to do? He's going to be bored stiff. Since he cannot go and bench, therefore, Seifer Mabarach, or Bor Yaitz, and the Seifer should go and say it out loud, and the Bor should listen to it carefully, and he should be Yaitz. Amar Rava.
So what we had earlier, a couple of times ago, I didn't understand back then, why with Yayin, who said they could not be Mitzdar, if they're in this, and don't we say with Yayin, it was Pas, they could be Mitzdar, but the other, but Yayin seemed to say that they had to make a
Hilchot Zimun?
Not Zimun, there was just sitting together. When
the Gemara was talking about whether you can have a Kvias Suda on Yayin. And the Gemara says people are Kvias Suda on bread, they might be Kvias Suda on Mezoinus and eat a lot of Mezoinus bread or Pasa Bobekistan. And then he had a fascinating story from his youth when he spoke to Ravik on the telephone about this policy of Sachtas Rabban. He'll be happy to share that story with you again if you don't recall it. Oh, so that so I might have thought. He had in fact a halach in the Mishnah about shlokos, a person who wants to go and eat vegetables, we can be kaveh suda. So it was one man, the other, that says you can be kaveh suda on that. But everybody agrees that you cannot be kaveh suda on wine alone. Why? Eliyahu Navi will come and he will tell us. What happens if you have a person that was kaveh suda on wine alone, and based on that he wants to go and veg? Says the Gemara, but the dites eats kolodim because nobody else is kaveh suda. But that kaveh was talking about not for purposes of zimun, it was talking about purposes of benching. Whether you bench, yes or no. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Omer Rav, Hamilta Amrita, everything okay? Hamilta Amrita Anna, Rava said the following halacha, I said, Itmara Mishmeid Reb Zeira Kavasi, and afterwards I heard that people say the name of Reb Zeira just like me. In other words, Rav is happy I was mechadish this, and subsequently I heard that Reb Zeira, where he lived in his besmedish, he said the same halacha as me. What halacha did they say? Shloisha shachlis, this comes up, this is fairly common. Shloisha shachl kachas, three people were eating together, and they all washed, and they all have a chiyav of zimun, and one person or two people have to leave, and the other people want to continue eating. So what can we do? If three are eating together, if two of them say we have to leave, we're sorry and we would like to wait but we really can't, we'd like to go and be mezamin, the other person has to stop eating and take a break, he has to answer, and when they finish with the zimun he'll continue eating. However, two people don't have to be mafsik for one. If one person has to go and leave, he says, I want to be mezamin, mister, if you're willing to wait, gizun tayyif. If you don't want to wait, but we're not going to be mafsik, we're in the middle of eating, we intend continuing to eat for another few minutes.
They don't have to answer?
They do not have to answer. One person has to answer to two, but two do not have to answer to one.
Majority rules.
Okay, one day can.
That's the next gemara. Frank Timur of a lawyer, you're telling me two don't have to not to answer to one. For a papa ifsikle la'aba mar berei ihu v'chad. Rav Papa had a son by the name of Abba Mar. When we are Messiah, each time in Masechta we refer to Abba Mori par Papa. So apparently it was Abba Mori or Abba Mar. Anyway, that was the name of the son of Rav Papa. Abba Mori and his father, a papa, and Chad, and a third unnamed individual were eating together, and Abba Mar had to leave. Rav Papa and the other gentlemen were going to stick around and they're going to continue eating. So it says in the Gemara that Rav Papa, ifsik lei, he was mafsik, la Abba Mar berei to Abba Mar, his son, ihu, Rav Papa was mafsik, the Chad and the third unnamed individual were also mafsik. They didn't have to. It was only Abba Mar that had to leave. The other two, Rav Papa and that Chad, they were going to stick around. We just said now that Shnayim, Ein Shnai Mafsikin Li Echod, says the Gemara, like Mr. Friedlander said a moment ago, Shani Rav Papa, Rav Papa could have said, I'm sorry, my dear son Abba Mar, you got to leave, Gizun Tahayt, bench and leave, but we are not answering, we're still in the middle. However, Rav Papa wanted to be very nice and deferential and be very ethical and equitable and moral and all the rest. He wanted to be a nice, gracious individual, and he says, I'm willing to stop. Chad, are you also willing to stop? Yes, both of them willing to take a break, and they waited until Abba Mar said the Zimun, and then they continued eating thereafter. Right, Yehuda Bar Merei Mar Baravashi Barav Achami Difti Barchi Rift Karchi Rift Bahadi Adadi. These three great Talmudic scholars, Yehuda Bar Merei Mar, Mar Baravashi, and Rav Achami Difti, were all Karchi Rifta. Karchi Rifta means literally to break bread. Bahali Dadi, they were all eating bread. In other words, they were all washing and eating a su'udah. And now it comes time for benching. Now, normally when you bench, you're mechabed, the most mechubedika person there in the audience, to go and bench. We have b'chu chad, da'am mufik mechabrei, lebrucha lehu. None of them were particularly outstanding relative to the other two. In other words, all of them were very great scholars, and therefore they didn't know who to be mechabed. And therefore, yasvi, become a boy lehu. They were sitting and they were clearing, they were asking, what should we do? Do you say, that's when you have an Adam Godol in whatever, either because of his godless in Torah, or he's a Kohen, or he's a Grace Aska, and he's a Bal Tzedakah. If all of them happen to be on the same level, maybe it's better that everybody should just bench on his own. So they didn't know how to be poshut to Shaila, and what they did was, Baruch Inish Lenav, each one benched on his own, and that was it. After they finished benching, Osla Kameh, the Merema comes on the scene. Remember, one of the three was Yehuda Bar Merema, so Merema now comes. Merema was greater than the other three, and Omelahu, and now they asked him, what do you think, Merema? What should we have done? Omelahu, he said to them, Yidei Bracha Yitzasim. You bench. Yidei Zimun Yitzasim, but you messed out on Yidei Zimun. We just finished benching. Let's go and say now, Zimun, Rabbi Senevarech. That's already too late. Once you bench, you cannot be mezamin. And that comes up every now and then when you have a few people sitting at a table, for instance, at a chasana or something, and one of them is already benched. And then three people say, oh, let's go and do now, Zimun. Can you answer? I'm sorry, I benched already. So you join in the Zimun. You can't join the Zimun if you've already benched. Ain Zimun, my friend.
In this situation where you have three great individuals, can each one take a pasuk from the zimun and bench?
You can't split it up.
You can't split it up.
No. So one of them you have to be mechabed. So according to Moreimis Psak, they should have figured out some way. Eating, eating, mining mode. Made a goyrel, exactly. Ask a question, see who knows the answer best. Or say, today you'll do it, tomorrow I'll do it.
Ask this question, what should we do? No one can answer. They should have asked this question, but no one can answer.
Ah, they should have asked it, but since nobody knew the answer, that's very good. Okay, anyway. That's the story. It's reminiscent of a story that I heard from my father, Shechan Avrucha, in the name of Rabik Shechan Avrucha. As you know, and any of you, there are some people that like to say Slichas early the night before at 10 or 11 o'clock or something like that. And thank you. And if you have that minig, I don't want to, Chas v'Shalom, cast aspersions or be critical. But Rav Moshe Bik Shechan Avrucha was not a fan of those saying Slichas early. In fact, at night. Rav Moshe Shechan Avrucha and his Sefer as well did not like the idea. They told him about a community where it's dark at night, and if you don't go out at night, then or early in the morning before davening, Chas v'Shalom, it's dangerous because of all types of mazikim lurking out there. So Rav Moshe said, well, if that's the case, but he was not a fan of it. Anyway, so someone asked Rav Moshe Bik, what about saying Slichas at 10 o'clock at night? So he said in Yiddish, gezugt is gezugt. Abka slichas heist is nicht. No, you said, but that's not slichas. You said it, but it's not slichas. That was his view. So here too, they said, the brucha is gezugt. Shoyne is brucha. Abka zimun is his nation. It was not zimun because he didn't have a person saying rabbi. So you missed out on the zimun. Anyway, finishing off the more. Bo mitzon kishayin mevorcha. Now, you have three people that are sitting at the table, and they're all saying now, Rabbeisei Nevovenshin, Rabbeisei Nevorech, I passed by, I have not eaten anything the whole day, and I hear them being Nevorech, what should I do? Should I just ignore them? Should I go and clap? Should I say, oh, that's so nice, they're Mekayim the Mitzvah? What do I do under those circumstances? So, Bo Mitzvah Kishem Nevorechim, Mal. Ma'u Oimer Acharem, what should he say? Rav Zvid Omar, he should say Baruch Mevoirach. Rav Papa Omar, he should be Oine Omei. Now this Baruch Mevoirach is not just you say two words, but Toisus fills in the rest of the words. If you see the third Toisus before the end, Rav Zvid Omar Baruch Mevoirach Ubahag. That's Bal Halachas Kedoylois Hasak Baruch Hu Umevoirach Shmoi Tomeli Oilam Vod. And some of the Siddurim, some of the Benchulach do have this printed in the venture or inside the sitter, and this is what you're supposed to do. In other words, if you have the person said so all the other people that are listening say Baruch Shechal Mishaloi Tvoi Chayino, but those people that did not eat, they can't say Baruch Shechal Mishaloi. I didn't eat anything. It looked like he's fake news. Baruch Shechal, I didn't eat anything. So what do you say under no circumstance? You say Baruch Hu Umavoyrech Shemai. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is blessed, and it should always be blessed. Tumid the void forever and ever and ever. So that's what you're supposed to say.
If he's the dirt, he can join even if he didn't eat anything.
No, he cannot. We said that before. All three have had to eat something. What he could have eaten, what the shear is, whether he has to dafki eat bread, whether he has to eat mezoinis, whether he has to eat peiris, that's already Shulchan Aruch deals with it both in the case of the three and the case of the ten. Please ayin shum or ask your local competent Orthodox rabbi.
You don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai when you want to be yid, so you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai.
Okay, so you came in the middle of the discussion. Three people are eating, they have finished eating, and now one says, Rabbeisai, with or without a cause, Rabbeisai, Rabbeisai, mention, he should be reward. So all the people that ate, the two, the three, the five, the 100 people that ate, say, Baruch Shechal Mishalai Tvachina. But someone who came in the middle, who had not eaten, he should say, Baruch Hu Umavoyrech Shemoi, Tomidli Oilam Vod. Hashem's name should be blessed him forever. He cannot say Baruch Shechal Mishaloi because after all, he didn't eat anything. It's not true. So therefore he says Baruch Hu Umavoyrech Shemoi, Tomidli Oilam Vod. And that's Halacha Lamaisa as well. Toisus points out, the same thing applies if you had 10 people, and now instead of just saying Baruch Hu Umavoyrech Shemoi, he says Baruch Hu Elikeinu Umavoyrech Shemoi, Tomidli Oilam Vod. Okay, that's great. But now the Gemara said, but there's another version. You should just go and say, Amen. Rav Zvid said, remember, we're six lines on the bottom. Rav Zvid said, say, Baruch HaMavayrach. Rav Papa said, Amen. So there's no machloik between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. They both agree. Ho dash kechinu deka amri nevarach, ho dash kechinu deka amri baruch. It depends when he came in, to the discussion of the Zeman. Not the discussion, but the performance of the Zeman. The presentation of the Zeman.
Recitation.
The recitation! Oh, that's the right word. The recitation of the Zeman. Thank you very much, Brother Shai. If he comes to the point that the Mezamen, he is the one that said Nevorech, Shechal Mishaloi, that he should respond, Baruch Mavorech, like we just said. What happens if he came 10 seconds later, the Mezamen has already finished his Nevorech, and everybody around the table is saying, Baruch Shechal Mishaloi. So he cannot answer Baruch Shechal, he didn't need. He can't say Baruch Mavorech, because he's not responding to anybody, and that's the response. So what should he say? After they finish saying Baruch Shechal Mishaloi, he should go and say Amen. In other words, to verify and authenticate what they said, Baruch Shechal, yo, Amen, I agree. Tony Chodah, one price says, Ho'oino Amen Acher Kol Brachoysev Harizem Meshubach. Person says Amen after his Brachoys, that's a very praiseworthy, meritorious thing to do. You should say Amen after your Brachoys. The Tiny Edith, but there's another prophet. Harizem Maguna. You don't say Amen after your bracha, you say Amen after somebody else's bracha. So therefore, we have now a shayla. What's going on? Should you say Amen? Should you not say Amen? Vaikasha, Boinu Shaloyim, and Bishar Bracha. If you're talking about Boinu Shaloyim, like we say in benching, Boinu Barachu Shaloyim, then you're supposed to add Amen. Any other brachas, you're not supposed to add the word Amen.
So now, why do we say after Boinu Shaloyim?
Okay, so we'll try to get to that. So now, the question is this only a benching thing, or is this Kalatayra Kula thing? So, Parshat Pshat in the Gemara, this is referring strictly and solely and exclusively to benching. That during benching, when you end off Baruch Atah Hashem Mazon Esakar, or you're ending off Ala Aretz Vala Mazon, you don't add Amen. But when you finish off Bainu Barach V'Yishalayim, then you should add the Amen. The question is, what's the difference between one and the other? As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the difference is because we want to make a sign, a line of demarcation, that I'm now finished with the benching the Oiraisa, and the new bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, that's the next bracha of Atoiv HaMeitiv, that's the Rabban. By saying Amen, then people realize, oh, this is like a Sof Pasuk, I've now finished my thesis, and now I'm going to add an additional chapter to it by adding the new Hatayva Meta. That's what you have the Amen. However, Rashi takes this as a more broad halacha, that this doesn't only apply to benching, but this applies, for instance, to davening. And therefore, Rashi says that when you finish with the Birchus Kriyashma, or you finish with Yishtabach, or other places in davening, you should also answer, you should say Amen on your own bracha, to show that you are finished. If you look at Habbaboyne Yishalayim, that's about five lines before the wide lines. So Rashi Habbaboyne Yishalayim, she yisoyif habrochis. That's the end of the brochis diaraisa. Har is a mishubach. That's good. That's the brisa that says it's mishubach. Praiseworthy. V'chein v'soyif brochis tekriyishma shachas v'arvis. When you finish Goal Yisrael, say Amen. V'achak kol berchois in diktani v'brais. Har is a mishubach. Achak mar kol berchois of koma. That first brisa that says that it's mishubach is referring to when he's gomer whole parsha of brochis. V'achak kol berchois in diktani har is a maguna. The second brisa that said it's not a good thing. So if kol bracha bracha koma. If you're talking about each individual bracha, that's not good. But the brachas together. So now you see the Rashi holds it's a good thing to go and add Amen at other places too, not only Baruch Yishalayim. So now look at the second Tosfos before the end. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, the halachas gedolos, the yesh mafarshim, meaning the Rashi, the bechol brachu bracha kigoyin achi yishtabach, ukiyoytzimoy, you should always say Amen. However, if you go around in all of the local shuls and communities, that we do not have that minig, so even though that's what Tosis concludes, however, there are communities even today where, for instance, at the end of Yishtabach, they go and say Amen at the end, both in Tzfarah communities and even in some Hasidic communities. At certain places, they go and say Amen. It's not a widespread minig, but there are minhagim of that sort. Anyway, the Gemara tells us now, Abaya, three lines from the bottom, Abaya only laid the color, Kehechel Ishmu Pi'alim Vele Koyma. When Abaya, for instance, was benching, and remember the Mezamnin in the good old days were typically not just saying the Raboisa, those few letters or those few psukim that we say, but rather they typically would say the whole benching out loud and the moitzi all the others. When Abaye would come to Boinu Barach V'Yishalayim, he would say Amen loudly. Why? So that the poyalim, the workers, should hear. They should get up and they should go back to work. Why? The Atoyim Meitav Rav Deraisa. The Atoyim Meitav is only Drabban. But it's not only that it's only Drabban. You mean people have to do Drabban still. But the same Drabban that instituted Atoyim Meitav, they said that's for purposes of Oyrechaim. For purposes of Choshe Mishpat, if you are an employee by an employer, you don't want the employer to lose time for these people continuing to bench and to continue to daven, so therefore they have to go and end benching there, and they have to go back to work. That, of course, is not the custom today, because it's assumed that the employer and the employees, that they can both hold out for another minute or two until he finishes the whole benching, so we do allow them to bench the whole thing today. But at least Mitzad Abaye said, stop at Omein and let everybody go home. Ravashi, when he came to Beit Barach V'Yishaloyim, he especially said the Omein and the conclusion of the bracha quietly. That people shouldn't go and say, he wanted them to go and consider the Rabbanit all to be very, very choshev, so therefore he tried to say it very, very low key to continue on the benching until the end, at least until Ayichas, right? Now we could theoretically stop here. However, since it's a chog anyway, and since we have a gishmak shtickle, if you don't mind, we'll just learn another few lines. Reb Zeira Cholesh. Reb Zeira was not feeling well. Only Gabeit Reb Avo. Reb Avo came to visit him to be mevaker cholim. Kibul alei. Reb Avo took upon himself. Imitpach ketina chorech saki. If Reb Zeira is going to have a refuah. Reb Zeira had a very interesting nickname, and the nickname was Ketina, the shorty, the short person, Chorasaki, who had a singed leg, a singed thigh. Now, how did his thigh become singed? Reb Zeira was a great tzaddik, and every single week or every single month, he was concerned that maybe he sinned. So on a regular basis, he would go into a flaming oven that was very, very hot. He would go in, and he would stay there for a short period of time to go and determine whether he did anything wrong that he deserves to have, chas v'shalom, a terrible onish. And virtually every time that he came out as dry and as cold or as warm as he was when he went into the oven. Nothing happened. On one occasion, unfortunately, he must have done something a little bit wrong. And guess what happened? His thigh became singed as a result of going into the oven. So as a result, and he was apparently a person of short, not of stature. Not of religious stature, but a short physical stature. And so therefore, he got the name Ketina Chorach Saki. So the Gemara tells us about it, that Reb Avo was mekabel on himself. He mitpach. If Reb Zeira will have a refuah, then he will have Ichal Machan Agroi Sesuda Saida, because Reb Zeira Baruch Hashem had a refuah. And Baruch Hashem mitpach, and it worked, Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah. Of the Sudas the Kul Rabbanan, and therefore Reb Avo was mekayim his word, and they made a big Suda. When it came to the beginning of the Suda, to mechabit someone to go and lead them with Hamoitzi, first to wash, and Hamoitzi for the whole Oilam. So Reb Zeira said to the Omalei, Reb Zeira, Reb Avo said to Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira, since you are the guest of honor, that's why we made the Suda, we want you to be the one that says the Hamoitzi. Omalei, he said to him, don't you remember what Rabbi Yochanan said? The Omer Balabayis Boitzeya, that the Balabayis is the one that should make the Hamoitzi. He's the one that's going to cut up the challah or cut up the bread and hand it out to everybody. So you're the Balabas, don't give it to me. So Tumar Sharluhu. Okay, Sir Bavo heard that. He said, fine, I'm going to be the one that's going to be the Boitzeya. And he made the brach and he cut it up. Now, we finished the whole meal after 12 speeches and all the rest. Now we're up to benching. So now Reb Avo said, okay, I said, but Reb Zeira want to be mechabed you with benching. That the one that was Beitzeya, the one that made the Hamoitzi, he should be the one that's benching at the end. And therefore, I'm sorry, you have to have the benching. What did Reb Avo hold? Obviously, Reb Zeira was a great giant. That's why Reb Avo is being mechabed him with this Suda Seidah. But Reb Avo was also no small potatoes. So what was his view? He held the Baal HaBayis Beitzeya. It's stuck true. The Baal HaBayis should be the one that cuts open. However, the Gas, he should be the one that benches. What's the reason why? Very, very simple. Baal HaBayis Beitzeya Yivtza Be'ayin Yofa. After all, the food doesn't belong to me and to you. It belongs to the Baal HaBayis. If I have this large challah and I'm asked to cut it up, I'll be afraid to go and cut up large pieces, because the Baal HaBayis will say, on my cheshbon, you're willing to go and give out the whole challah, we need this challah for the rest of the week, and you're dividing it all up for this meal. So therefore, Baal HaBayis, you'll be the one that's there, he'll hopefully be ayin yofa for his arch. V'ereich mevarach when mechabed the areich with benching, kinei shivarach that he should be mevarach the balabais. He should thank the balabais in his benching. My mevarach, what is that magical bracha that he benches the balabais in his benching? So now many of the sidurim and many of the benchlach today have this. Yiratzin shleyevish balabais by the mazev leikalim v'mabah v'rabbi moisim v'advarim v'yistlach moi b'chol v'chosav v'yinachosav v'yinachosayim v'mitzlochem v'kreim v'leir v'yishle tzotten liv v'masiyad v'masiyadenu v'yizdakar v'yizdakek loy v'fun v'lefanein v'shum devar hir chet v'v. So this is the bracha that one says in the benching. The until recent times, people were not nohate to say this yiratzin because it wasn't matzah, it wasn't printed in sedurim the benchalach. Instead, we have in our benchings we have the harachman or yivorach as balabais, and this ishter balabais is that. And in fact, the poskim all scratch their heads. How come we don't say this yiratzin? But of recent, this has now become much more common practice, because now it is printed, so we are thanking. So, once again, the balabais is baitseas, he should give bayin yafa, and say, Rebavo, however, let the ayrech be mavarach, so he can go and throw in a nice vart. I, Rebavo, would like Rebbeira to go and bless me and bless all the assembled in the household by saying this yiratzin, to go and thank everybody. Have a wonderful day, and bracha matzah.